بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Prophet Muhammad, his noble family and his noble companions, and those who follow in their pursuit until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation of the Noble Quran, and especially we're talking about part 30. In particular, this will be the explanation of Surah 85, which is Surah Al-Buruj, chapter number 85, Al-Buruj, which the translation of the meaning of its verses, inshallah, will come as we recite the original Arabic text. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this chapter by swearing, saying والسماء ذات البروج, by the translation of the meaning, by the heaven holding the big stars, واليوم الموعود, and by the promised day, meaning the day of resurrection, وشاهد ومشهود, and by the witnessing and the witnessed, قتل أصحاب الأخدود, cursed were the people of the ditch. And we will talk about the people of the ditch and why they are cursed, and this will be the beginning of the first four verses. So let's go now to the first verse. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. السَّمَاءِ meaning the heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, meaning Al-Buruj refers to the mansions, and these mansions comprise the mansions of the sun, as well as that of the moon and the stars, that all are in their magnificent and perfect organization. Such a system which manifests the perfection of the ability of Allah, as well as His vast mercy, as well as His knowledge and His wisdom. And it is called Buruj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. It is called Buruj, and Buruj, the plural of Burj, and this comprises, as we said, this magnificent collection of these planets and big stars. And they were called Buruj because of its highness, لِعُلُوِّهَا, because of its highness, عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and because of its clear manifestation, and according to astrologers, these are 12, and they are as follows: Al-Haml, which refers to Aries, and Al-Thawr, Taurus, and Al-Jawza, Gemini, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته, السرطان, which is cancer, and the Asad, which is Leo, and the Sumbula, which is Virgo, and then Al-Mizan, which is balance, and then Al-Aqrab, which is Scorpio, and then the Qaus, the Archer, the Jadi, which is the North Star, and Ad-Dalu, which is the Aquarius, and the last 12 is the Al-Hitan, which is the fishes. So these are 12 Buruj. Three of them are in the spring, three are in the summer, and three in the autumn, and three in the winter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by these buruj, and he is entitled to swear as he wishes by any of his creation. But the creation themselves, we only swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by his names and by his attributes. And we don't swear by any of his creation, because this is not allowable for the creation to do so. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kana halifan falyahlif billahi aw liyasmut." The one who wants to swear, let him swear by Allah or to keep silent. And also because of the saying of Rasulullah, of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him, alayhi salatu wassalam, "Man halafa bighayri Allahi faqad kafara aw ashrak." Anyone who swears by other than Allah, then he commits disbelief or he commits shirk, meaning he associates partners with Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, which is وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ. وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ, meaning Allah is swearing by the next thing, and that is the day, the promised day. Well, promised day, الْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ, the promised day is the day of resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers on that day the creation, and this day does not change. This day does not change. It is the promised day. Allah promised it, and he made it clear in his book, and he rendered all the evidences, textual as well as intellectual, that testify that and indicate that this is truly will take place and will occur. As Allah, for example, says in Surah Al-Anbiya, which is chapter 21, verse 104, كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ وَعْدًا عَلَيْنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. As we began the first creation, we shall repeat it. It is a promise binding upon us. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is a promise binding upon us. كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ وَعْدًا عَلَيْنَا. It's a promise binding upon us. إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. Indeed, that we will do that. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. Then Allah swears by saying وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. The scholars of tafsir, of exegesis or explanation of the Quran, have said several meanings, or said several sayings rather, regarding the two terms وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. All of these sayings are gathered, or they are they can all be combined in saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَقْسَمَ بِكُلِّ شَاهِد, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by every witnessing, وَبِكُلِّ مَشْهُود, and in every witness. وَالشُّهُودُ كَثِيرُونَ, and those who witness are many, and those who witness are many. From them is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad is the messenger, the Muhammad being messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a witness. Alaykum salam rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Alaykum salam rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. He is a witness upon us, alayna. Kama qala Allah azza wa jal, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا, and we bring you, O Muhammad, as witness against these people, as witness against these people. And from this ummah itself is a witness upon mankind. This ummah, the ummah of Islam, the nation of Islam, is a witness on mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated this in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 4, verse 143. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, and as such we have made you a just nation, أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, a just nation, so that you be witnesses against mankind. Our parts, our own parts, our own limbs are witnesses on the day of resurrection. Witnesses will stand to witness, you know, as to what we have done from good or with evil. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24 verse 24 as well. He said يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون. On the day when their tongues, their hands and their legs or feet will bear witness against them, so that also as to so what they used to do, as to what they used to do. And also from them are the angels, are the angels who will witness the day of resurrection. So anyone also who, anyone who witnesses, alaykum salam, anyone who witness with the truth is also in, he enters under the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَشَاهِد, under the saying of Allah, وَشَاهِد, meaning a witness. As to the mashhud, the witnessed, al-mashhud, is يوم القيامة, is يوم القيامة, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته, is يوم القيامة, is the day, which is the promised day of the day of resurrection, and what occurs to it from the horrible and magnificent matters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذلك يوم مجموع له الناس وذلك يوم مشهود. And that it is a day, as in Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 103, ذلك يوم مجموع له الناس, and that is a day when all of the dwellers of the heavens and the earth will be present, يوم مشهود, will be present. So from these verses that we have read, أقسم الله بكل شاهد وبكل مشهود. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by all that which is witnessing and that which is witness. That then comes the answering statement concerning the swearing, قتل أصحاب الأخدود. قتل أصحاب الأخدود, meaning they are destructed or destroyed, or القتل هنا بمعنى اللعن, or that means that they are cursed. Cursed meaning they being casted from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this verse Allah states قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ, cursed were the people of the ditch. And the people of the ditch, there is a story regarding them. وَأَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ, these are قَوْمٌ كُفَّار, these were non-believers who wanted from the believers to enter the fold of their disbelief. So they wanted the believers to follow their state of disbelief. The believers rejected that and they ended up torturing them in the fire of hell. And there were many stories regarding the story of these believers who were tortured by the disbelievers in the fire of hell, as these were people, it is said, they were in Asham, in greater Syria, and that if another report indicates that this may have been in Yemen. Well, despite of that, what is important is that those kuffar, those disbelievers, attempted to sway the believers so that they turn away from their belief in Allah, but they failed. And when they failed, they dug this ditch and in an elongated fashion as a river, and they have gathered all the fuel from the wood and they burned the believers. We seek refuge in Allah from that, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states An-nari dhatil waqood, fire fed with fuel burning, and this is the fuel of the ukhdud, of the ditch. That al-waqood, this fuel is the fuel that was used, and this was used from wood and that was burning. Now we idhum alayha qu'ud, that these people, when they sat by it, by the fire, they were sat by the fire, meaning those people who dug this ditch in order to burn the believers in it, and they dumped them in this, they had ugliest form of tyranny, in the sense they sat watching the fire blazing with the flesh of the believers while they were sitting there on their couches, and as if there is nothing there. And this is from the Jabarut. This is from the grave type of tyranny that people sit and watch others being burning, and while they were chatting, being careless about what they see. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. And they witnessed what they were doing against the believers, that is, in burning them. And why? Why they burned them? وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. The only thing they denied for that these believers, they denied is that as if those believers committed a mistake in believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore they have to torture them for that. Meaning that when these believers believed in Allah, the most magnificent, the most mighty, then instead of being helpers to them and things being made easy for them, or to make things easy for them, rather they were tortured in this horrible way. And this is no doubt about that this is a transgression. So let's talk about what came in the Sunnah regarding the people of the ditch. What came in the Sunnah, and there was a magnificent story that needs a lot of pondering. And it goes as follows. It reflects some of the matters that took place during this encounter between the believers and the non-believers, and the story of the ditch. In reference in the Sunnah, this is referred to as the story of the boy and the king. And it is narrated by Shu'aib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, quote, and this is a lengthy hadith, so I would like you to bear with me and also try to focus tentatively so that you follow up the details of the story. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, among the people before you there was a king, and he had a sorcerer. When the sorcerer became old, he said to the king, I have now become an old man. Get me a boy so that I may teach him the sorcery. So the king sent him a boy to teach him sorcery. Whenever the boy proceeded to the sorcerer, he sat with a monk who was on the way and listened to his talks, and used to admire the talks of this monk on his way to the sorcerer. So when he went to the sorcerer, he passed by the monk and he sat there with him. And on visiting the sorcerer, the latter thrashed him. So the boy complained about that to the monk. The monk said to him, whenever you are afraid of the sorcerer, say to him, My people kept me busy. And whenever you are afraid of your people, say to them, the sorcerer kept me busy. So the boy carried on like that for a period. There came on the main road a huge creature, an animal, and the people were unable to pass by. The boy said, today I will know whether the sorcerer is better or the monk. So he took a stone and said, O Allah, if the deeds and actions of the monk are liked by you better than those of the sorcerer, then kill this creature so that the people can cross the road. Then he hit it with the stone, and it was killed, and the people passed the road. The boy came to the monk and informed him about it. The monk said to him, Allah knows best as to the exact date or when this took place, but it was among the people before us. The monk said to him, O my son, today you are better than I. Today you are better than I. You have achieved what I see. You have achieved what I see. And you will be put to a trial. And you will be put to a trial. And in case you are put to a trial, do not inform them about me. Do not inform them about me. The boy used to treat the people suffering from born blindness, leprosy, lecoderma, and other diseases. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. A blind courtier of the king heard about the boy. He came and brought a number of gifts for the boy and said, "All these gifts are for you on condition that you cure me, The boy said, I don't cure anybody. It is only Allah alone who cures people. So if you believe in Allah and invoke Allah, He will cure you. He then believed in Allah, and Allah cured him. Later, the courtier came to the king and sat at the place where he used to sit before. The king asked him, "Who has given you your sight back?" The courtier replied, "My lord, Allah." The king said, "Have you got another lord than I?" The courtier said, "My lord and your lord is Allah. Allahu Akbar." The king got hold of him and kept on tormenting him till he informed him about the boy. So the boy was brought. The king said to the boy, "O boy, has your knowledge of sorcery reached to the extent that you cure born blinds, lepers, lecodermic patients, and do such and such?" The boy replied, I don't cure anybody. It is only Allah alone who does cure." Then the king got hold of him and kept on tormenting him till he informed him about the monk. And the monk was brought, and it was said to him, "Give up your religion," meaning turn apostate. The monk refused to turn apostate. Then the king ordered to be bring a saw, S-A-W, and it was put in the middle of his scalp, and he was sawn, till he fell, cut into two pieces. Then the courtier was brought, and it was said to him, "Give your religion and turn apostate." The courtier refused to turn apostate. So the saw was put in the middle of his scalp, and he was sawn till he fell, cut into two pieces. Then the boy was brought, and it was said to him, "Give up your religion, turn apostate." The boy refused. So the king ordered some of his courtiers to take the boy to such and such a mountain, saying, "Then ascend up the mountain with him till you reach its top and see if he turns apostate from his religion. Otherwise, throw him down from this top," from its top. They took him, ascended up the mountain, and the boy said, "O Allah, save me from them by anything you wish. O Allah, save me from them by anything you wish. So the mountain shook. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. saw the mountain shock, and all of them fell down. And the boy came walking to the king. The king asked him, "What did your companions do?" The boy said, "Allah has saved me from them." The king then ordered some of his courtiers to take the boy on board a boat into the middle of the sea, saying, "Then if he turns apostate from his religion, well and good, otherwise cast him into the sea." So they took him, and he said, "O Allah, save me from them by anything you wish." So the boat capsized. So the boat capsized, and all the accompanying courtiers were drowned. The boy then came walking to the king. The king said, "What did your companions do?" The boy replied, "Allah saved me from them." And he further said to the king, "You cannot kill me, till you do what I command. The king said, "What is it that," meaning that command of yours? The boy said, "Gather all the people in an unplanned place." Alaykum salam rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. "Gather all the people in an upland place, and fasten me to the stem of a tree. Then take an arrow. From my quiver and fix it in the bow, and say, 'In the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy,' and shoot me. If you do that, you will kill me. So the king gathered the people in an upland place and fastened the boy to the stem, took an arrow from his quiver, fixed it in the bow, and said, 'In the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy,' and shot the arrow. The arrow hit the temporal region of the skull of the boy, and the boy put his hand over the temporal region of his skull at the point where the arrow hit, and then died. The people proclaimed, "We have believed in the Lord of the boy." And the king came, and it was said to him, "That is the thing which you were afraid of. By Allah, the thing which you were afraid of has fallen upon you. The people have believed in Allah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. So he ordered deep ditches. Here is the point. So he ordered deep ditches to be dug at the entrances of the roads. And it was done. Then fire was kindled in those ditches. And the king ordered that whoever did not turn apostate from his religion be cast into the ditches, and it was done. Then there came a woman. With her baby. She nearly retreated back from the ditch, but the babe said, and spoke, O mother, be patient. So she threw herself in the ditch of the fire along with her child to be with the martyrs in paradise. This hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. In Sahih Muslim, and if you want to read it further, go to Sahih Muslim, volume 4, hadith number 7148. So that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ, cursed were the people of the ditch, in the story of the boy and the king. So they had no fault, the believers then, except that they believed in Allah, Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. Al-Aziz is the one who is almighty. Al-Ghalib الذي لا يغلبه شيء. The one who overcomes and nothing overcomes him. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the overcoming and the might on everyone and the subduing of everyone. And that's why when the hypocrites at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they said, لَئِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُّ, when they said, if we return to the Medina, to the city of Medina, indeed the more honorable, meaning of them, of the hypocrites, referring to Abdullah bin Ibn Salul, who was the chief of the hypocrites in Medina, they referred to him as the honorable, will expel there from the city the meaner, and the meaner they referred to as being the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah responded, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But honor, power and glory belong to Allah and His Messenger and the believers, but the hypocrites knew not. And in his saying, describing himself in this verse, Al-Hamid, Al-Aziz, we know now the meaning of this of name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as to Al-Hamid, meaning Mahmud, meaning he is praised himself. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised, you know, on all conditions. He is praised on all conditions. And that is why it was from the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if something of a good news comes to him, he would say, Alhamdulillah alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu as-salihat. All praise is due to Allah, by whose favor, you know, all righteous deeds can be accomplished. وَإِذَا جَاهُ خِلَافُ ذَلِكَ, and if the opposite would come to him in the news or so forth, he would say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praise is due to Allah for all conditions, on every status. And this is what, you know, should be the case. This is should be the case for every one of us, for every person, to say if anything that he dislikes befalls upon him, to say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praise is due to Allah on every condition. As to some people may say, and we hear them saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi la yuhmadu ala makruhin siwa, no one else is praised for any disliked matter except Allah. This is in opposition to the way of the Sunnah. This is in opposition to the way of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is better, and the way to say it is the correct to say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praise is due to Allah on every status or every condition. As to saying, الَّذِي لَا يُحْمَدُ عَلَى مَكْرُوهِمْ سِوَى, to say of Allah as the one who, yani, none can be praised regarding any disliked matter except Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is as if you declare now, as if you are disliking what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had preordained upon you. And this is not fitting for the believer. But it is the duty of the believer is to be patient as to regarding all the pre-decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from that which he likes or he may dislike. Because that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains, the one who ordains that is Allah, your Lord, and that you are his slave. He is your possessor and you are possessed to him. So If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who preordained this matter upon you, then you shouldn't dislike it, neither you should be worried or be uneasy. Rather, you should be patient, persevering, and this will be in your heart, as well as with your tongue, as well as with your limbs. Be patient on all of these matters, and the matter will change. وَدَوَامُ الْحَالِ مِنَ الْمُحَالِ دوام الحال من المحال, meaning the continuation of a certain status, يعني to be continuous forever is impossible. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ, and know for certainly that victory accompanies patience, is when there is patience, there is victory. وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجْ, and that relief is مَعَ الْكَرْبِ, is with the sorrow and the worry. And وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, and that with difficulty there is ease. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who مَحْمُودٌ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ, is to be praised on all conditions, from those of joy or those of difficulties and hardships. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains any difficulty, then this is a trial and a test. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة, and we will test you with good and evil as a fitna, as a trial and a test for you, as in Surah Al-Anbiya chapter 21 verse 35. And when Sulaiman عليه السلام, Prophet Sulaiman عليه السلام, saw the throne of the queen of Sheba, Balqis, there before him, what did he say? He said, هذا من فضل ربي. You know, this is something good that occurred to him now. He said, هذا من فضل ربي. This is from the favor of my Lord upon me. ليبلوني أشكر أم أكفر. So that he may test me whether I'll be grateful or ungrateful. The first one, Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 35. And the second concerning Sulaiman, chapter An-Naml, Surah An-Naml, which is Surah An-Naml, what's 27, and yes, it's 27 and verse 40. 27 and verse 40. So if one is touched by favors, then don't take it for granted that this is it is a favor, there is no problem with that, but do not be accept that. You should caution yourself and beware that you are being tested even by this favor, in the sense that would you be giving thanks to Allah, recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this favor, or you will not. And also, if you are touched by a calamity, then be patient, because that itself is ابتلاء and امتحان, and this is a testing and a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test you whether you will be patient and persevering or not. And therefore, if you are patient and persevering, and that you look for and try to attain, hope for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah, listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this respect, as in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 10, he says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, those who are perseverant, patient and perseverant, they will be rewarded in full without reckoning. And also, Al-Hamid, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hamid, meaning He is the one who is Al-Hamid, meaning the praising one. That is because He subhanahu wa ta'ala يحمد من يستحق الحمد. He praises whomever He deserves to be praised. He praises His slaves from the messengers and their prophets and the righteous, and He praises them. And this is from Him a praise to them, and as well He Himself is the one who deserves all the praise. And it has been affirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى عَنِ الْعَبْدِ يَأْكُلُ الْأَكْلَةَ فَيَحْمَدُهُ عَلَيْهَا وَيَشْرَبُ الشَّرْبَةَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the slave. When he eats a meal, he says thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and he is gratified. He gives thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that meal, and also when he drinks, he would do the same. It is because لأنه لولا أن الله يسر لك هذه الأكل والشرب ما حصلت عليها. يعني had it been that for Allah, had it not been for Allah making this matter easy for you to attain this meal and to get this drink, then you wouldn't have been able to attain it and to get it. قال الله تبارك وتعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this sense, أفرأيتم ما تحرثون أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون, as in Surah Al-Waqi'ah chapter 56 verses 63 and 64, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أفرأيتم ما تحرثون, tell me about the seed that you sow in the ground, أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون, is it you that you make it grow, or are we the grower? الجواب, the answer is, بل أنت يا ربنا, it is you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does this. That's why when you follow the verses right away, you will read the following, لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما, were it our will, we could crumble it to dry pieces. Were it our will, meaning if Allah willed, you will not be able to get, you know, these seeds growing and to give you the vegetation and to give you all the plantation that you need. Were it our will, we could crumble it to dry pieces and you would be regretful or left in wonderment. لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون, saying we are indeed, that is, ruined or have lost money without any profit, or are punished by the loss of all that we spend for. فَظَلْتُمْ تَفَكَّهُونَ إِنَّا لَمُغْرَمُونَ بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ, nay, but we are deprived. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not only about this, He tells us about the drink. فَقَالَ أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون. Again in Surah Al-Waqi'ah chapter 56, but verses 68 and 60 till 69, tell me about the water that you drink, is it you the one who brought it down, أم نحن المنزلون, is it you who cause it from the rain clouds to come down, or are we the causer of it to come down? Then the answer should be, بل أنت يا ربنا, بل أنت يا ربنا, it is you, O Allah. قال تعالى right after that, لو نشاء لجعلناه أجاجا, if we will, we verily could make it salt and undrinkable. Why? فَلَوْلَا تَشْكُرُونَ, why then do you not give thanks to Allah? As in verse 70. Meaning, why shouldn't you give thanks to Allah for all of that? In this saying, remember, Allah here is saying, أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ. He said, لَوْ نَشَاءُ لَجَعَلْنَاهُ أُجَاجًا, if we willed, we verily could make it salt and undrinkable. Allah didn't say, لَوْ نَشَاءُ لَمْ نُنْزِلْهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ. Allah didn't say, لَوْ نَشَاءُ لَمْ نُنْزِلْهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ. He didn't say that, you know, if we willed, we wouldn't have brought it down to you from the clouds. Why? Why? Because, لِأَنَّ كَوْنَهُ يَنْزِلْ وَلَكِنْ لَا يُشْرَبْ وَلَا يُطَاقْ أَشَدُّ مِنْ كَوْنِهِ لَمْ يَنْزِلْ أَصْلًا. The fact of the matter that it is coming down but it is undrinkable and unbearable is more severe than not sending it in the first place. So contemplate the Quran. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Contemplate the Quran and you will find in it so much of the secrets and so much of the wisdom. Also in the case of the sowing of the seeds and its growth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ نَشَاءُ لَجَعَلْنَاهُ حُطَامًا, with our will we could crumble it. into dry pieces. Allah didn't say لو نشاء لم ننبته. He didn't say if we will we wouldn't have brought it to grow. Why? Because having it growing and people attached to it, then it becomes crumbled, is the influence of that, the impact of that is more severe on the soul than having it not growing in the first place. Then we continue in the verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling about himself that he is Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. Then he said, الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض, in verse number 9, الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء قدير, والله على كل شيء قدير. Allah mentions his possession in particular to the heavens and the earth, and this possession that to him belongs such a kingdom, this mulkiyya, such possession is shamila. This is a comprehensive possession. Oh, okay. So with the sister Naila is picking up something that shamil. Okay, there's no problem then. But Abu Maher or Umm Maher, sister Umm Maher. How come I was hearing all the time? Sounds fine there. Okay. Let me just repeat the last two statements. Okay. All right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ. Okay. Tell me of the water that you drink. Is it you who cause it from the rain clouds to come down, or we the causers of it to come down? Did you hear that, inshallah? Sister Umm Maher and Brother Abu Maher, did you hear that? Okay. Here, the answer is, بَلْ أَنْتَ يَا رَبَّنَا. You, Allah, is the one who caused it to come down. Then Allah says, لَوْ نَشَاءُ لَجَعَلْنَاهُ أُجَاجًا. Listen, He is saying, لَوْ نَشَاءُ لَجَعَلْنَاهُ أُجَاجًا, meaning, if we willed, we verily could make it salt and undrinkable. He didn't say, لَوْ نَشَاءُ لَمْ نُنْزِلْهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ. He didn't say that if we will, we would not have brought this rain or this water from the clouds. Why? Because having this water, causing this water to come down, yet being undrinkable, or people cannot bear drinking it, is more severe in the impact than not sending it in the first place, because here it is there with you, but you are unable to drink it because it's undrinkable, salty, or unbearable. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling about himself further, describing himself as the one who lahu mulku as-samawati wal ard, to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in shaheed, and Allah is witness over everything. This is verse number 9, and we are talking about the explanation of Surah 85, Surah Al-Buruj, chapter 85. If you have the translation of the meaning of the Quran next to you, that will be very, very helpful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about his comprehensive mulkiyya ash-shamila, his comprehensive dominion and possession of things, and not only of that, and also at-tadbir, running the affairs of everything. He possesses the kingdom and the dominion and all that's in it, the heavens and all the earths and what's in between them. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one shares with Allah the possession of these things. قال تعالى لله ملك السماوات والأرض وما فيهن وهو على كل شيء قدير. To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and that's in them, and all that's in them. وهو على كل شيء قدير, and He is the one all capable to do whatever He wishes, everything He wishes. And whatever is added to us as a form of possession, then it is only in the limited sense. It is not really a real possession. We say this is the house of such and such, this is the car of such and such. This is a limited possession. It is not really a true possession. Why? Because, as the Shaykh rahimahullah said, لأنه لو أن إنسان, for any person who wants to destroy his house without any reason, then he has no right to do that. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited that we spend selfs, that we spend إضاعة المال, meaning that we spend uselessly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited that we spend uselessly. Also, if a man wishes to set his car on fire without any reason, he has no right to do that. And if he would do that, then the judge would confound him and prevent him from using his wealth or dispending his wealth and have a decision regarding the spending. And therefore, we know before the judge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who prevented him before from doing this. And therefore, this indicates that our possession is only in the limited sense. And the perfect possession, that is the one which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this verse, verse 9 says, and as you see that, and Allah is witness over everything. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in shaheed. Meaning that subhanahu wa ta'ala oversees all things. Nothing escapes him. And from the things that he witnesses subhanahu wa ta'ala is the actions of these kuffar, what they have done with the believers by setting them on fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them for that. But yet, despite this ugly action of theirs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states after that, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا, in chapter 10, in verse 10 rather, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Verily those who put into trial the believing men and believing women by torturing them and burning them in the fire of hell, in the fire rather, and then do not turn in repentance. Look at this. And look at this term. And then do not turn in repentance to Allah, will have the torment of hell, and they will have the punishment of the burning fire. قال بعض السلف, some of the righteous predecessors commented on this verse by saying, انظر إلى حلم الله عز وجل. Examine and contemplate rather, and ponder on the clemency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يحرقون أولياءه. They burn and set the fire, burning his أولياء, his friends. Then he offers them at tawbah, and he says here, and then don't turn in repentance. And the term fatanu, this term fatanu, they put in trial, meaning they burned, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dhariyat in chapter 51 verses 13 and 14, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ يُفْتَنُونَ ذُوقُوا فِتْنَتَكُمْ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. It will be a day when they will be tried, meaning punished, burned over the fire. Taste you your trial, your punishment, meaning the burning. This is what you used to ask to be hastened. Those burned the believers and the believing men and women in the fire of hell. Meaning they tortured them in the burning. And it is also said that they fatanuhum, meaning that they sadduhum an deenihim. They stood to prevent them from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is their deen. And the correct meaning, that the meaning comprises both meanings. Al-Aya Shamila is comprehensive to both meanings. It accommodates two meanings. And this is a matter which we came across earlier, and the Shaykh Rahimahullah reminds us about it again here by saying, ينبغي أن نعلم أن القرآن الكريم معانيه أوسع من أفهامنا. And we should know that the meanings of the Quran al-Kareem are much more comprehensive than our own understandings. والقاعدة في علم التفسير, and the basic ruling regarding the science of tafsir, the science of tafsir is that إذا كانت الآية تحتمل معنيين, if the ayah can tolerate two meanings, then and that these are not opposing meanings, then and therefore it can accommodate the two. So we can say here, فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, meaning this, they put the believers on this trial to turn them away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also فَتَنُوهُمْ بِالْإِحْرَاقِ أَيْضًا, and also they tried them by the burning in the fire of hell. Then Allah warns them of the severe warning, as if they don't repent, فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Why? Because they burned the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore they will receive the same punishment, and this is a fitting and all just punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what a difference between the fire of this life and the fire of the next one, of the life of the hereafter. From these verses there are great lessons. First of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test the believers by trying them by the non-believers, and in this there is a wisdom. Those inflicted from the believers, they will receive a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those transgressing disbelievers, they will have respite. And then gradually they will be seized. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gradually seize them. And for the remaining Muslims, they have an admonition in this, in what happened to their brothers. So we hear what occurs to the Muslims from harm and infliction of harm upon themselves, upon their souls, upon their wealth, upon their honor, being in stages of siege, young and old. We hear things that make us cry. We say, Subhanallah, Allah is the one free of all imperfection. We say, we shouldn't really be astonished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the parables and the examples, alaykum salam, of those before us being burned in the fire. So whatever affliction touches the believers, then this is raising their ranks, and this is an expiation for their sins, and this is also a lesson for others. And this is also a temptation for the disbelievers to carry on these assaults against the believers, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually sees them and takes them by His might, the one who is almighty, all able. And from the lessons of this verses, that these kuffar blame the Muslims for one thing, that they believed in Allah. Allah the Almighty, Al-Hamid. And this is not a sin that they have committed, but this is the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, أَنْ يَنْصُرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي كُلِّ مَكَانٍ, to give victory to the Muslims in everywhere, and that to protect us from the evils of our enemies. And that in the third lesson we learn from this, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about them,
the last statement before you,
because this was the dua of the Shaykh rahimahullah the lesson from this, that those kuffar carried on the assault on the Muslims, thinking from their side that the Muslims committed a sin, and this sin to them is this one single reason why they have conducted this, is that because they believed in Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا نَقَّمُ مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. And they had no fault except that they believed in Allah. And it is not a fault, it is the truth that they have adopted. This is what I said earlier before the dua of the Shaykh rahimahullah. And then in the ayah, we know, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. Verily those who put into trial the believing men and believing women. And here's the point. And then don't turn in repentance. وَفِيكُمْ بَارَكْ. Don't turn in repentance. In this ayah, the Shaykh rahimahullah said that the tawbah, repentance, تَهْدِمُ مَا قَبْلَهَا. It will destroy everything before it. What does this mean? It will clear the person from all the misdeeds and the sins that he may have committed. But التوبة لا تكون, the Shaykh reminded that the tawbah cannot be considered as a true tawbah accepted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless it fulfills five conditions. Unless it fulfills five conditions. The first condition, الإخلاص لله عز وجل, sincerity to Allah, meaning the driving force behind the tawbah. The driving force, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, the driving force behind the tawbah is fearing Allah, hoping for His reward. Fearing Allah, hoping for His reward. Why we say this? Because a person may repent. Why? Seeking to be praised by the people. Or in order to repel any blaming by some people. Or in order to reach a certain rank or a certain status. Or he may want to repent in order to gain some wealth. In all of these cases, their repentance is not acceptable. Why? Because the tawbah يجب أن تكون خالصة. It must be pure and sincere. And anyone who seeks and who directs his word and intends from his work the life of this world, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا وزينتها نوفى إليهم أعمالهم فيها وهم فيها لا يبخسون أولئك الذين ليس لهم في الآخرة إلا النار. Whoever desires the life of the world and its glitter, to them we shall pay in full the wages of their deeds therein, and they will have no diminution therein, and they will have no diminution therein. This is in Surah Hud, chapter 11, verse 15 and 16. The second condition, from the conditions of tawbah to be acceptable and to be called tawbah nasuh, sincere and true repentance, is an-nadam, regret. Regretting the sin. Mean the person shouldn't be the same as if he didn't sin at all, and that he doesn't feel sorry, he doesn't regret. He must repent with regret. If he remembers the greatness of Allah, then he will regret. How can I disobey Allah? And He is the one who created me and guided me and provided for me. This leads him to nadam. This leads him to regret. The third condition of tawbah, he should desist from committing the sin. Because the tawbah is not acceptable with insistence on the sins. Because at-ta'ib huwa al-raja, the one who repents is the one who returns and who abandons. So if a person says astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi min akl al-riba walakinahu la yazalu yurabi fala tasihhu tawbatuhu. And if he says, a person says, astaghfirullah, I seek refuge in Allah, forgiveness, وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ, and I repent to him from dealing with riba, with usury. Yet he continues to engage in usury. Such tawbah is not acceptable, it's not correct. And if he says, astaghfirullah, I seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from backbiting, mentioning your brother in that which he dislikes. Yet in every majlis, in every majlis, in every circle, in every encounter, he backbites the people. Such tawbah is not acceptable. How could it be acceptable while he's still insisting on ma'asiyah, on doing the sin and the bad deed? It is a must that he desist. And if he repents from unlawfully taking the wealth of people, or from theft, or from deception, then his tawbah will not be acceptable until he returns all that which he took from the people of the wealth of the people to them. And the fourth condition for tawbah to be correct and acceptable, that he must be on full determination not to return to the sin. So if he repents while concealing in himself, if the opportunity comes again, then he will perform the same sin, then such a tawbah is not acceptable. He should have full determination and firm determination that he shouldn't do or redo the same sin. The fifth condition, that the tawbah must take place in the time when tawbah is acceptable. Because there are certain times when tawbah is not acceptable, and these are two times. First of all, the first is إِذَا حَضَرَهُ الْمَوْتِ, if death approaches him. In this case, his tawbah is not acceptable, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, which is chapter 4, verse 18, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ. And of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil deeds until death faces one of them and he says, now I repent. So after he examines death and sees the punishment, he says, now I repent. This has no effect. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It's not beneficial. It's not going to help him. And there is an example that took place. Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, when he was drowning, he said, آمنتُ بالذي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل. I believe in that which the children of Israel believed in, meaning Allah. He didn't say, I believed in Allah. And this is humiliating himself, since he used to be fighting the children of Israel for their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now he says, آمنتُ بالذي آمنوا به. And now I believe in that which they believed in. Making himself as if making himself what? تابعاً لبني إسرائيل, following the children of Israel. To this degree, humiliation took him. Yet it was said to him, Al-an, now you repent. Yes, shahada is tawbah is different from shahada. Tawbah is different from shahada. This is from the success of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant the person the ability to declare shahada at the time of death. This is from the good signs. So it was said to him, Al-an, now you believe in that which Banu Israel had believed in. Al-an waqad asayta qablu wa kunta min al-mufsidin. Now you believe while you refused to believe before, and you were one of the mufsideen, the evildoers or the corruptors, as in Surah Yunus chapter 10 verse 91. So if the death approaches, then the tawbah is not acceptable. Then this tells us that there is a need to hasten for repentance, because no one knows when the time of death approaches. Alam ta'alam, don't you know, أَنَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ نَامَ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ فِي صِحَّةٍ وَعَافِيَةٍ ثُمَّ حُمِلَ مِنْ فِرَاشِهِ إِلَى سَرِيرٍ إِلَى سَرِيرِ تَرْسِيلِهِ. Didn't you know that there were some people who slept on their beds with full health to be taken from that bed to the washing bed? And don't you know, and بعض الناس, that people جلس على كرسي العمل, sat on the chair where he works. ثم حمل من كرسي العمل إلى سرير الغسل. Then he was taken from that chair to the washing bed. All of this is real and taking place. لذا يجب أن تبادر بالتوبة قبل أن تغلق الأبواب. And thus we have to, you should repent before the doors are closed. The second case, the second timing where tawbah is not acceptable, إِذَا طَلَعَتِ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, when the sun rises from where it sets. If that takes place and people see that, they believe, they will believe. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. As in chapter 6 verse 158, the day that some of the signs of your Lord to come, no good will it do to a person to believe then, if he believed not before, nor earned good through his faith. Say, wait you, we too are waiting. This brings the completion of the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Buruj. Inshallah, we continue tomorrow, finishing up the rest of the verses, and they are 22. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our Shaykh for his great works in serving Islam and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make us from those who with him be in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise, in al-Firdaws al-A'la. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.